Paul Stanbrook is director of the Centre for Voluntary Service, which is based in St Albans but covers the whole district, an organisation that we'll probably get to calling CVS fairly soon because it's much easier. Welcome, Paul. I'm going to ask you first to explain what the Centre for Voluntary Service is all about, because it's probably quite widely known but not necessarily quite widely understood. What do you actually do?
Thanks, Rob. I think that's absolutely correct. In fact, the term CVS has got a bit lost, really. Historically, CVSs were set up to provide infrastructure, so that's, if you like, umbrella support, particularly for smaller charities, so that they could access a range of services. Over the years, some of those have been more effective than others, if I'm honest. Some of them have merged together and changed their name. But in St Albans, we've stayed true to the original core principle of that service. So the themes of what we do are to support small groups, and that might be to set up with their governance, with policies, with training, with recruiting volunteers. It can be the whole range of things to support a very small business, which is effectively what they are. So that's the biggest strand of what we do. The second thing that certainly in St Albans we need to get better at is the way we represent those groups. So part of what we need to do is talk to them through focus groups, through surveys, understand the issues they're facing and the issues that the clients who use their services face, and see what we can do to influence on representative bodies, on strategic bodies. And then finally, and an equally important part, we're also a volunteer centre in St Albans, and that's where we talk to people in the district who might want to volunteer or who already volunteer, and we broker a relationship between those and groups and organisations that work with volunteers. And that can be as simple as signposting somebody to a big charity, or it can be a much more in-depth support process and some initial induction and training for those volunteers if it's a littler charity. So those are the big things that we do.
So you're of use to volunteer groups of any size, yep, locally, but also to the individual who can walk in and say, I want to help. I've retired, or I've got time that I didn't think I was going to have. Where can I go? Do they actually physically walk in somewhere and do that?
That's an interesting question, because you can access the voluntary services and the volunteer roles that are on offer through our website. There's also a big national website called doit.org, which is of patchy quality, but it's still got lots and lots of vacancies on it. But equally, we do have quite a lot of people who choose to come and visit us in our hub, which is in the Civic Centre in St Albans. And the interesting thing about that, Rob, is that over half the people who choose to come to us that way have some sort of barrier to volunteering. So we'll have lots of people who are perhaps recovering from an episode of mental illness, lots of people with learning or physical disabilities, or people simply who haven't worked for a long time and who therefore have lost their confidence and would like to find their way back into work through volunteering. So for that reason, that physical presence in the city is really important, because otherwise those people probably wouldn't access the opportunity. So we then train volunteer advisors to work with those individuals one-to-one and help them find the support they need to volunteer effectively.
Where do you get those helpers from? Are they themselves volunteers?
They are indeed volunteers. And in fact, one of the things we have to be careful of is that when people who are really committed to volunteering and passionate and energetic come to us, we need to not cherry pick the best ones from our members. We have nearly 300 members, but there's actually nearly 600 groups or small organisations, and that does include social enterprises now, any not-for-profit organisation who could benefit from the services that we offer, but we're not good enough at getting out to them. We have about 12 volunteers now, maybe slightly more than that, and they provide an advice service for us, they provide back office admin for us, some of them support specific projects, and we're not a big organisation ourselves, so without our volunteers we couldn't function.
You say you're not a big organisation. How many people actually work for CVS?
We have 9 paid staff, but none of them are full-time. So there's a core team of 4 managers, if you like, including myself. We pay ourselves for 28 hours a week, although my staff actually give us a lot more than that. And then we have 5 other members of staff on either 2 or 3 days a week, and they're directed at specific projects.
What sort of projects do you mean?
What we try and avoid doing is anything which competes with our members. I don't want to go down that road. That would be ridiculous. So what we try to do is tap into projects which either fill a gap or where the project itself helps to link vulnerable people to the groups that can support them. So at the minute, we run a project to support older people. We've for quite a long time supported the Old People's Trust in St Albans to give out emergency grants to older people who are vulnerable. And we've linked that into a new project called Because You're Worth It, which is designed to reach out to older people who choose to exclude themselves from services because they don't think they're worth it, or they have too much pride, or they're isolated and unable to access those services. That's one project. And once they're with us, we can tap them into other groups like Age Concern or whoever that might support that need. We have another project which is aimed at encouraging local people to set up their own micro or social enterprise. In other words, it runs like a business, but its aim is to add value into the community, support local people, and not to make a profit. We also run a very small project where we're training learner volunteers to achieve the care certificate. So these are people who are long-term unemployed and who are looking for work. So they're working with us and with some care providers to achieve the certificate and work experience so that they can then go on to paid work and move themselves out of unemployment. There's a big project about to start called Building Better Opportunities, which is a countywide project, but we're a partner in that. And that has three strands, but all of those strands are designed to reach out to people who are the most marginalised and excluded and move them nearer to social engagement and employment. All of our work, if you like, is designed and aimed at increasing the well-being of our community and particularly focusing on small groups who can become vulnerable and individuals who are vulnerable.
Who funds your work?
We're still very lucky, unlike some CVSs, in that we have a great relationship with St Albans District Council. They still provide us with a core grant, and for that grant, we agree, we have targets around how many organisations we'll support, how many individuals we'll support into volunteering, etc. They've been brilliant at supporting us, and we, as I say, we have a great relationship with them, but they've been clear to us that their purse is getting smaller, and that after this next financial year, 17-18, there'll be a renegotiation. The other funding we get tends to be project-specific funding. We'll come up with an identified need in the community. Then we'll look at the kind of organisations who are there to fund that need. And then we'll make an application, usually in a competitive process, to attract funding to allow us to respond to that. So that's where our project funding comes from.
What are you doing at a county-wide level? You mentioned that.
So up until March of this year, county did give us some core funding as well to do the kind of work we do. That actually stopped for all organisations from March, and they moved to a commissioned model. And although we were involved in a competitive bid to try and hold on to some of that funding, we weren't successful in that. So that was difficult for us, and we went through a process of restructure on the back of that. However, as I say, this Building Better Opportunities project is county-wide. It's funded by the lottery and by the European Social Fund. And the good news around that one is that it is a three-year project, and the European Union have agreed that we will get the 3 years funding in spite of Brexit. That, over that period, is worth over £6 million across the county, so it's big money. And one of my concerns is how the funding currently provided by the European Union will be replaced when that money isn't available to us, but that's another story. But the other things that are happening in county is that they're really keen to use the voluntary sector more, but what they're aware of and what's true is that quite a lot of small groups aren't ready to receive that level of funding. So one of the...
When you say not ready, why is that? Because we're simply not skilled enough?
Not necessarily skilled enough, but small organisations, Rob, some of them are volunteer only, some of them are people who work full time, and they're so busy trying to deliver the service they deliver that they don't have the time or the resource to do other things. So one of the places I think CVSs and similar organisations should be making a difference is in bringing those small organisations together, understanding what they do and what they can do, and then being the representative voice to county to attract the kind of funding that's available. In a perfect world, I'd like to see CVSs be the honest broker and the responsible partner to county to deal with all the money, all the reporting and all of those things so that those organisations can receive the money and get on with the work they're so good at doing. But that's a little way down the track yet, I think. But there is a real willingness at county here, not all across the country, but here what I like about the way county are approaching this is they're asking people, they're talking to people, and they're involving the sector in trying to understand how they can use less money but still deliver an as good or better level of service to people. Now, it's a big challenge, but at least I think going about it in the right way.
Because the reality is that as the squeeze across the country on the economics continues, the role of the voluntary sector becomes more and more important. People, we're going to have to take care of our own society rather than rely upon the state or government to do it for us. So these sort of intermediary roles, which you've just described there, both in the county and in the sort of role that CVS does, becomes more and more important in helping smaller groups to do what, in the olden days, one might hope the state did.
I think that's exactly right, and I think there are some concerns around that. One of the things that's clear is that statutory bodies, I mean, in particular focus around the NHS now, but it's also true of other statutory bodies, are needing to use volunteers more. Our concern is that some of those bodies don't have a lot of experience of managing, recruiting and supporting volunteers, And there's also a risk that volunteers will end up doing work which clearly should be paid for work. So we'd like a role in educating and informing some of those statutory agencies about the way to use volunteers effectively. And ideally, we'd like to be a broker in that relationship. Whether that's achievable or not, I don't know. I've had some really positive discussions with James Blake, who's chief exec of St Albans District Council. He's very keen to do something around that, although exactly what remains to be seen. I think the other thing around the role of volunteers, and I made a presentation to the strategic partnership group at the council very recently, is that volunteering is very cost effective. It's not free. Volunteers need to be supported, trained, developed, and they need to have their expenses covered as a minimum. They're not just free labour. When volunteers have a really good volunteering experience, they really enjoy it, and it's really beneficial. It improves people's confidence, their socialisation, but they need to be supported in the right way.
Do you find that you get a lot of young volunteers as well as older volunteers? I mean, are there, not you personally in CVS, but I mean, do you encounter young volunteers? Where's the role for young people in all this?
I haven't looked at the demographic recently, but I think the volunteers we get are quite representative of the community. So we get volunteers of all ages and from all different backgrounds and with different levels of ability. I think in St Albans particularly, there is a big untapped potential of early retired professional people who I think we could engage with much better if we could, if you like, rebrand what it is we're asking. Because when you say volunteering, people think about middle-aged, middle-class lady, blue rinse, twin set and pearls, making tea. And actually, we've got volunteers doing a huge range of things now. One of the recent initiatives I'm setting up with the local Rotary Club is to use Rotarians, who are often retired professionals, to apply their skills and experience in short interventions with small charities where, for example, they have no business plan or they have no marketing strategy, because we're always trying to get trustees, but it's quite a big commitment. And some people don't want to make that commitment. So the intention is to try to have a bank of skill where someone might just go and do a week or a day to help an organisation write a recruitment policy or a business plan and then step away again.
One of the things that brings together business and voluntary groups and members of the community who are full-time active is the sort of the Dragon's Apprentice Challenge I was thinking of, which is quite a CVS initiative, I think.
It is.
And that's not only now in St Albans District, but it's across the county. Is that the sort of model that you see relevant to the future?
Yes, I think it's very relevant. I think there's much more we need to do around business, and we've got somebody at the moment working on a corporate membership model, because traditionally, small charities want to engage with businesses. That was a big thrust of the St Albans Community Conference last year. But when I went and followed that up with those charities, what they really meant was we want some businesses to give us some money. It doesn't work like that. I don't think it ever did. But there are things those charities have and can do which are beneficial to businesses. We just haven't identified that properly yet. So there's a piece of work for next year, watch this space, where I intend to develop that. The Dragon's Challenge, it's now in its seventh year, was invented and started in St Albans. It's now in seven hubs across Hertfordshire. This year, for the first time, it's being launched in Cambridgeshire. We've got a new person looking after that project called Emma Gamble, who's brought loads of new energy to it. Penny Mortimer was the lady who started it and still involved with it. And this year also, for the first time, we've launched a junior version of that challenge involving, I'm too old to know what the years are, but the last years of primary school in a much smaller, more compact project. So really exciting times for the Dragon's Challenge. And we'd really like to roll that model out wider and wider, because the beneficiary charity, I mean, the original concept was to turn £100 seed money into £1,000 for the charity. But over the years of its development, we've discovered an awful lot of other benefits. So the young people learn about the sector. They learn about a particular charity. Some of them will go on to volunteer for that charity. They learn business skills. They learn teamwork. One of the criticisms of our education system is that young people aren't given enough life skills. Well, Dragon's Challenge helps to address some of that. And we're hoping in future years to also have an alumni of people who've been through that process and keep in touch with them as they move into their own careers. Because some of those young people will be movers and shakers, and we'd like to make sure they've still got one foot in the ground of what it's really like at the front line in a charity.
You care very much about what you do, but do you have some particular passions which are ahead of all others?
I have particular values, and I'm passionate about those values. One of those values is the belief, absolute belief, that every human being is of equal value and is entitled to being treated with equal respect and dignity, and to have the ability to explore their potential and achieve it to the fullest, even if that potential doesn't seem very much to somebody else. As a society, I don't think we do that. I don't think we do it well. I think we still have lots of exclusiveness, lots of elitism, and there's still lots of discrimination around. Not deliberate often, but some of it's systemic. So one of my big passions is about trying to create as equal an opportunity for people as you can, and including everybody. I'm also very passionate about empowerment. So it's a similar thing. People need to have the right to make choices, but they need to be informed in order to make the best choices that they can. My background when I first started working in Hertfordshire was as an advocate supporting people usually with mental illness or learning disabilities, and recognising that just saying that people can make their own choices is artificial if they don't have all the information. And then the challenge is that once people have got all the information, they may make a choice that you don't think is wise. But actually, so long as you've been really clear to them about the outcomes and consequences, then that's their choice to make. So those are probably my two biggest passions, I guess.
Have you always worked in or around the social sector or the voluntary sector?
No, I haven't, interestingly enough. I left school quite young, and I spent 26 years working in manufacturing, mostly on a shop floor. So making parts for cars that I would never afford to buy, which may sound really quite an unusual start. However, what happened to me is all my life since I was a teenager, I've had something called generalized anxiety disorder. So I have fluctuating mental well-being myself. I manage it really well, but over the years, it's cost me a career and a marriage and, you know, the kind of story you get from people. But what happened to me was that because of that problem, which at the time I hadn't had diagnosed, there was a period when I became actively quite suicidal. And I called the Samaritan volunteers at that time, and that made a difference. So at the point where my children had grown up and I didn't have the need to earn the kind of money that shift work brought in, I remembered that experience, began to volunteer for the Samaritans. And then because of that experience, it kind of switched something on in me about the amount of need there is out there and vulnerability that I wasn't aware of, and the fact that in my own small way I could make a difference to that. And once that's been switched on, you can't switch it off. So 2003, I made a complete career change and I went to work for a charity called Power, which back in the day meant people of Hertfordshire want equal rights. And it started in Hertfordshire. It's now pretty much national. But I was there from 2003 until 2010 and did a lot of learning around the sector and around how to support vulnerable people during that time. And now what gets me out of bed is the ability to make a difference.
Paul, CVS is making a fantastic difference, and I'm delighted that we've had this opportunity for you to run through even that much of it. We could talk forever. It's fantastic work that CVS is doing, because we've gained from it. We've had great value in being associated with it. Thank you very much for coming in. I hope you'll come back again.
Thank you for the invitation, Rob. It's been a pleasure.